The following podcast may contain discussions supported by science that may be considered dangerous to some listeners and conspiracy theorists. Discretion is advised.
The Three Down Greencast is brought to you by Lucky Bastard Distillers, Saskatchewan's premier distillery, and by the Pilot Bowens Brewing Company, brewed in the heart of Regina.
Welcome to the Three Down Greencast. You are listening to the internet's only... What, did I do that again? I don't remember. Podcast, I am Joel Gasson with John Fraser, as usual. Odds and ends to get to, plenty to get to, as always. The Saskatchewan Roughriders lost to the Montreal Alouettes, an outcome that, if you listen to this here podcast last week, doesn't necessarily surprise either of us. As we talked about, it was very much the opportunity that this could have been a trap game for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
It's a trap!
And it was. So we will talk about how I wouldn't worry about it too much. We'll also talk about some of the decisions by head coach Corey Mace coming into that game. We're also going to talk about some things that have dropped in the last couple of days. The Riders on Monday announced a new community zone, basically most of the East Upper Deck, $20 tickets now, which is great. And
amazing.
On the other end of the spectrum, I guess you could say, in an email to season ticket holders today, the team confirmed that they are, in fact, looking at trying to talk to the government or, you know, sort of deal with the government, the provincial government in this case, and try and make legal tailgating a thing at Mosaic Stadium for next season.
You know, if they're teasing it, they're basically at the goal line.
I mean, we know when it comes to booze, this government is pretty much on board, so.
Yeah, wisely so, after the dark ages that we had been in this province for so very long.
Yeah, so we will get into that in a little bit more. Before that, though, usually we have something different to talk about at the top of the show, and this is one of those situations. And normally, often, actually... These stories sometimes involve the life and times of one Jonathan Q. Fraser.
It's true. Usually it's me running into stubbing my toe. What was the last one? Oh, yeah. The parking spaces, the lot of the debate. So it's when you came to me and you said, I have something. And it's a personal anecdote. I'm like, okay. Let's into the life and times of Joel Q. Gasson, which you oh so rarely hear in this podcast.
Absolutely. I'm an international man of mystery sometimes.
He stole the words right out of my mouth.
We've all had those moments, right, where you're leaving the house for work or something, and you're like, did I lock the door? In my case, often, it's like, did I actually close the garage to the point now where I actually, like, because of the way, like, in my garage, now I back into the garage so the car seat is on the easy side to put cadence in.
Makes sense, yes.
Because otherwise, I got to back out first, or I'm, like, squeezing up against the wall. I'm just like, no, I'm just going to back into the garage now. It's easier. So, yes, I'm 100%. That guy now.
So with your New Balances and your white socks, right?
I don't have those, but... at the time that I hit the button to close the garage door, and it's like, because it's behind me now, I don't think about it as often. So I'm like, was it actually closing? And then, so I've stopped doing that. I just actually, like, basically don't move until the garage door is basically closed now.
That's fair. No, yep. Like, because especially in the winter, you get a little bit of ice build up. It doesn't close. It bounces.
I've had that
back
thing bounce back open on me before. Absolutely. Yeah.
100%. Anyway, garage being attached to your house, right?
Yes. I have an attached garage into the house, which is nice. This is not about the garage door. This is just the example of, hey, you know, you have those moments throughout a day where you think about, did I actually do whatever I was supposed to do? You know, lock the door, close the garage door. Did I take out the garbage? Did I actually take it to the curb? You know, all those little things like that in the course of a day where you just, for some reason, completely space on the completely mundane.
Yes.
This morning in the shower.
Ooh.
That happened to me.
Greencast after dark here.
This is very G-rated showering.
Oh, okay.
And I, like, you know, usual, wash my hair, you know, wash my face, wash my beard, do all that sort of stuff. And then I'm standing there. And I'm like, after a couple of seconds, and I was like, did I wash the rest of my body? And I was like, surely I must have. That would be a really weird thing to not do. Like, maybe you get in the shower and you forget to shampoo your hair or something, you don't really need to shampoo your hair, so you don't really care about it that much. But then I'm like, no, surely I must have done it. So I get out of the shower, I dry off, brush my teeth, you know, do the whole rest of the shebang, and get downstairs, get Kay ready for the day and work and all that sort of stuff. Drive off to work. This morning I'm deciding, I'm like, okay, we're a little short-handed, I'm gonna hop on the back end.
Going to be a hero, right?
I'm going to help the order a little bit because we were short a guy on a Wednesday. We don't get a huge order, but there's enough of one that it's probably warranted. It's better when two people are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm helping out a bit, and I'm moving around a little bit. And it's the way our building faces, the big windows get a lot of sun in the morning, so it actually gets pretty hot in there in the morning.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, I'm moving around. I'm starting to feel a little warm, and I was like, oh.
Uh-oh.
I did not wash the rest of me today. I'm not even sure at this point if I actually put on deodorant today. And to be clear, I mean, I didn't ask anyone because that felt very strange.
Yes, yes.
But I don't think I smelled terrible. I don't think it was like a bad BO day or anything, but it was just like, I feel like I didn't shower today, which unlike you, because I don't think you know this feeling because you can't go more than like 12 hours without showering or being in the bath or something.
No, I can't. No.
For me, it's like if I'm not working, I can go like 2 days without showering. No problem.
I don't know how.
But I felt like that. I could tell. I'm like, okay, I'm not stinky, but I'm not clean, and I just feel different than I normally do. So I don't know if it was just in my head, and I still don't know if I actually did it or not, or if it was just because I was warm, because it was warm, and I basically always wear a sweater at work, and I was just like, I don't know. But to me, I'm thinking I completely spaced on it, and the 1% time where you thought that you weren't sure if you did something, but you thought, surely I must have done it. I don't think I actually did.
See, two thoughts. Thought the first. There's a trick that I learned, and because whenever we'd go on a long road trip, it would always bother me, did I lock the door, So it's not as applicable to your shower situation, no. But one thing I've learned to do is you do or say something ridiculous when you lock your door, and you'll remember that. Mm. So for me, it's like I'm going on a long road trip. Last one we went on, I barked like a seal as I closed my front door. And I'm like, yeah, of course I closed the front door. I barked like a seal, right? Mm-hmm. Thought the second. Yes, I cannot leave the house. I've gotten to a point now where I can like leave the house to drop the kids off at school and daycare and then come home. But like I can't leave the house without having 99% of the time, in my case, a bath.
Yeah.
Baths for the win.
To the point where, like, I'm up there for men's curling, and we're playing at, like, 8 a.m., and I hear the freaking bath running at, like, 6 in the morning, or whatever time it is. I'm like, we're going to curl. We're going to get gross anyway. Like, what are you doing?
Doesn't matter. I can't do it. Even if I know I'm going to get gross, I can't do it. And now that I've, as many of you have probably seen or heard, I'm shaving my head regularly now, all the way down to the chrome. I'm up to like 3 every 2, because I'll have one in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how ridiculous I'll admit this is ridiculous, but I just can't do it. I will bath in the morning, shower or bath at night while I shave my head. And then as I get up in the morning, it's not like activities are happening between the time I shave my head and the time I get up.
No.
And I will bath or shower again. And I can't leave the house without doing it. Like and it's even worse now that we've told some stories amongst me and our management team of like prior employees we've had that have been like really stinky. So we have this really like, we're all really aware if any one of us stinks, we're like, hey man, like no bueno, right? Especially being in like you, like customer service, right? Like no person in the world is going to buy a vehicle from somebody who reeks. It's just like the law of the land, right? So we're all very self-aware of it. And yeah, now I'm up to like 3 a day, and I don't know how like,
your skin isn't just like cracking and falling off, like
moisturizing. I now have a skin. It's not quite as in depth as Greg's skin care routine, but it is up there. So no, it's
saying that bottle of moisturizer downstairs isn't just for foreign films.
Not the one in the home office. No, I can tell you that for free. Just don't check my bedroom too closely. Hey, there's the green cast after dark you all were expecting, especially you, Jock.
Yeah, I don't know.
How do you transition?
I can still kind of feel weird about it, but I was like, I'm like, honestly, it was probably fine. My sweater probably actually smells worse than I actually do, so.
But it's one of those things that's enough to throw you off for the day.
Yep. Like, right? I definitely thought about it for a bit once I, like, after lunch and I was sitting down and doing more, like, sitting things. I didn't think about it as much, obviously, and the building had cooled down a bit by then too, which was nice. So
right, Right. It's like how I have the coldest office at my store at Dodge City, right? I've got a giant air conditioner vent that's basically right behind me, which is fantastic for a large man who's very self-concerned about, you know, sweating and feeling greasy. Although I will admit, I think I could maybe start getting away from it a bit because since I've shaved my head, mm-hmm. See, my thing with not going out of the house until I had bathed or showered was my hair felt greasy.
Oh, yeah. No, I get that after a couple of days for sure. Like, it's there. Right. I notice it. I just don't care.
See, I would feel it, like, even after, like, a day. Mm. And that's what would bother me. But I have noticed, obviously, since removing all my hair, that that feeling is not there. I still don't think I could do it. But, like, even the, when I came up for the stad neck last time, I left the house at, like, 5 in the morning. At 4:45, I had a bath.
To be outside on the golf course for 4 hours and get stinky anyway.
In plus 30-some conditions as well. Yes. Let's not forget about that. So
hopefully that won't be the case next season because it looks like, as it was announced, next year Stadnik will be the lead-up to Labor Day weekend, which will hopefully be a little bit more tolerable.
Yes, 100%. September golf is far superior, which will also be count as your practice round for the two or three rounds we're going to play at my 40th trip next year.
Absolutely.
Which means we're going to have like, somebody do the podcast because we can't do it because we'll be in the same room as each other.
I mean, I assume wherever we're staying will have multiple rooms, so it is plausible that we could do it. Which would be the funniest thing ever.
Okay, done. Now we have to podcast, but we cannot be in the same room. Done. Decided.
Absolutely.
Or like at least like, or maybe even like on different ends of the same couch where we're not looking at each other. We'll figure it out.
We will figure it out. Some people who have some figuring out to do would be the Saskatchewan Rough Riders as they lost their third game of the season. Basically got walloped by the Montreal Alouettes in a game that did not go well for many reasons. And so we will get into that and we will get into a whole bunch more. But for, as always, John, for the Palo Bowens Brewing Company, as we just heard, what's in the glass this week?
We're going double sponsor this week. We're going to the Palo Bowens Double White IPA. It's been one of those kind of weeks where you need something with more teeth, but yet the same flavor as the white IPA. Plus, I think there was a pricing mistake at the co-op by my house, and they were only $17 for four. And of course, for our friends at Lucky Bastard, a little vodka lemon. That's the best way I have started. I was kind of fighting a cold this morning, and I've decided that, like, knock on wood, I haven't gotten significantly ill outside of I had the flu once, but I haven't gotten, like, a cold in, like, 3-4 years since I really switched my nightcaps to vodka lemon. So we're going to hope that that continues successfully tonight.
For me, because I guess tis the season to a degree, tis now mid-September, and pretty much on cue, I have started to enjoy stouts again. I have the Blackbridge. Blackbridge Milk Stout, which is just perfect for this time of year. It's not quite like deep. It's not that deep and roasty yet, but it's still a little sweet, which actually kind of helps. I find when it's still just a little bit warm out, like when I was at Bryce's last week and I had one and we were outside in the sun, I was like, you know what? Yeah, this still works, even though it's a little warm in the sun, but there's just enough sweetness to kind of carry you through. And what I also really like about stouts is I find I'm really good at sipping them versus other beers that I can sometimes get caught drinking a little bit faster.
No, that's fair. And that's maybe I should start entering my stout era because I'm going to delete this double white IPA in probably record time here while we record this.
The Saskatchewan Rough Riders did pretty close to fell out of that game against the Montreal Alouettes in record time. As we discussed last week on this here podcast, it was a trap game. And they didn't look that great. It was concerning on many levels. If it was, you know, if this was a trend, if this was early in the year. But considering they were 10-2 coming into the game, all the circumstances that we talked about last week, you know, they two big wins against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, a bye on the horizon. The weather was kind of shitty. And then we add in the fact that Tavon Campbell and Marcus Sales, two of their best defensive backs, were made game time decisions on the depth chart when that came out on Friday, and they ended up not playing. And I think a big reason for that, and we can get into this a little bit first, was because They had already clinched a playoff spot that day before they stepped on the field. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers and Edmonton Elks both lost this week, so that means by some math way that the Riders have now clinched a playoff spot, so they will at least be playing one game in November, when and where, yet to be determined. So I think with all that in mind, I think Corey Mace made a business decision, and that business decision was to keep those two guys off the field and let them get a little bit of extra rest before the bye week. And even though it made that game difficult to watch at times, and it may have cost them one game, Corey Mace's overall goal as the head coach is not to win one game. It's to win one game at the end of November. So big picture, I think he ultimately made the right call to hold them out.
I would agree. Two thoughts again, as now I'm just defining when I'm going to go on a tangent. I have an alternate theory for all this, Gas.
Mm-hmm.
It is the transference of the Fraser curse.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So Connor and his flag football team, one of the coaches, I wish I knew his name off the top of my head, loved this move, had a bunch of his teammates over to his house to watch the game, had the boys come together, ordered some pizza. I jokingly said to Connor, I'm like, well, that's how me and my friends hang out. Maybe you should bring some beer. So I figure the fact that this was Connor's like first like football viewing party that involved the Rough Riders, maybe it's, again, as we've discussed on this here program, that the Fraser curse has been transferred to Connor. That might have been part of it.
It's plausible. It's definitely. I don't think we can rule it out. No.
No, certainly. And part the second, again, to Corey Mace's decision to rest guys that were banged up and not seemingly bring the same motivation for this game. This is something you've seen, and we've talked about it here, you've seen Winnipeg do the last couple seasons. Where, you know, you look at in the NFL for years and years and years, the conventional wisdom was when your team was that good, you sat early the last couple weeks of the season, then you don't play for 3 weeks, and that leads to a playoff upset, right? So I like the fact that if there's going to be a game that you've got a guy that's, you know, 70%, if that game meant something, I bet you one, if not both, are in the lineup.
Probably. I mean, Marcus Sales played, like, every game before that. One game as a game time decision, even so.
Exactly. So if that game meant anything, I think this was the wise move. That we've seen the trend in all pro sports, especially at football, going, okay, it's better to not put your best foot forward, you know, mid September than it is to do so the last week of the regular season, right? So kind of give these guys a break. I'm okay with it. It's just I felt so bad. It's Exumi, right?
Exumi, yep.
Exumi. Like, the spot he was put in, and, you know, it wasn't fair to him.
No, it wasn't, no.
The guy is clearly not ready to play defensive back.
He's just not a starting corner. He's in his early 30s. He's been around the league a while. He's a great special teamer. By all accounts, a great guy. Everyone loves him, but he's a role player. Even in college, he did not start in the defensive backfield. Like, he is a pure special teamer. So, you know, it was a good decision to keep Tavon Campbell out in that spot. It was a bad decision by Corey Mace to then put Exumi in that situation and not have really anyone else that they trusted to put into that spot. I know there's Michael Brooks Jr. as well. He had a rough, you know, moment earlier in the year, and that seems to have tarnished him in the eyes of the team. They did eventually pull Exumi from the game later in the game, but the damage was already done. So, yeah, I mean, it's a double-edged sword here for Corey Mace. On one hand, he made a really good decision, and on the other hand, they made a really bad decision by A, put him in that spot, and B, not really planning ahead, knowing that this could have been a possibility,
right?
And maybe having some other DBs on the roster ready to go.
Which is the irony is they basically went out and signed a guy like the next guy, dead.
Yep.
You know, realizing that they're in this, and maybe it's good to see that he's not ready, and or
just not who he is, and that's fine.
Exactly. You said it best. I don't want to harsh on the guy too bad.
No, that's why after the game I didn't write too much about it. Like, I easily could have, you know, talked about all the big busts that led to Tyson Philpott's 200 plus yards, but everyone saw it. There was no point in going on and on about it. The guy had a rough day. He was put in a tough spot, and that's pretty much how that went.
Boom. That's exactly it, right? And I'm glad, because I saw some ish out there from other people, I'm glad that you took that approach, because that's exactly what it was. This was a coach's decision to rest some guys and they
weren't started
quite...
more Canadians than they had to. They easily could have flipped the ratio in that spot and been fine.
100%. And you could tell that winning, getting out without anybody getting hurt was the priority. The fact that
they didn't
stayed
do that
in
very
there.
Well either, though. So
I know there's but I think if you write this off, this had, like we talked about, this had trap game written all over it.
Yeah.
In flashing neon lights. You knew what you were going to get. Now you just hope that, okay, you fell into the trap. You're just hoping it doesn't cost you against a Calgary team that is still on your heels for that so essential first round playoff bye and West final at your home barn.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's really should be all that surprised that they lost. But the the question will become, how do they bounce back? And we'll see that in a couple weeks when they play the Edmonton Elks. And at this point, I mean, it'll be good. Should be a good football game. But the one thing that did sort of stand on for me in that game that actually was bad was, and they were bound to have sort of a rough game at one point or another, was the defensive front. Because, I mean, for a unit that had been terrorizing, Zach Kolaris and Chris Streveler for a couple of weeks and everyone before that as well, just they had nothing on McLeod Bethel Thompson. And I don't care what kind of year McLeod Bethel Thompson has had. If no one's in his face all night, and if he's got a guy at corner that has been asked to cover the one of the best players in the league, period, doesn't matter what position you're talking about, any professional quarterback should be able to take advantage of that. So good on McLeod Bethel Thompson for taking advantage of it. And frankly, we got to give some credit to Montreal Alouettes too, and to Jason Maas for recognizing that and saying, okay, you're going to put this guy out here, he's going to see Tyson Philpott all night. Good for Jason Maas for recognizing that as well.
Yes, because, I mean, Montreal is still in the mix. I mean, winning that game was far more important to Montreal than it would have been Saskatchewan, right? I mean, obviously the Riders with five games left, you want to finish first, get the bye week and the home game, but it's far more important to Montreal, who needed a win to stay in that conversation to host the East Final, right? So good on Jason Maas, basically playing the team that he had to play in front of him. You're right. It was so weird to see the defensive line so... And I don't know, I haven't looked at the quarterback sacks given up or anything like that, but I didn't think Montreal was having that great of a year for the offensive line. It's not like you got the old Brian Chu, Scott Flory days out there where you had the five Canadians all guarding Anthony Calvillo and giving him weeks of time with every drop back. Like, they played well. The D-line played bad, but you can almost tell this is one of those games that the messaging before the game was not run through a wall. It was like, hey, we've achieved our first goal. It's almost like the day after when, especially now in baseball, that they celebrate so friggin' hard that they've clinched a playoff spot, that they do the champagne showers and everything like that, and then you expect the guys to come out the next day all with a nasty hangover and play professional ball. I'm not saying that they went out bowling or anything like that, in the hours before the game, but it's just, it's hard. You've achieved a goal. You've achieved a major goal. Now you're expected to go fire up and play. Again, I'm not going to say the game was meaningless, but say what was a less meaningful game than it was when you got out of bed that morning. So as long as this is a one-off, if they come out against Edmonton, go Death Star mode, because this Edmonton team is starting to get spicy. Like, this Edmonton team with Cody Fajardo was all of a sudden knocking on playoffs door here.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to need a little bit of help, but they're certainly not out of the mix. And the way, the BC Lions defense has been at times, there's certainly room for catastrophe there. And depending on what's going on with Zach Kolaris and just the vibes in Winnipeg overall seem kind of weird, with Mike O'Shea out there telling Derek Taylor that he thinks players' injury information is personal and shouldn't be shared. Like, it's just, this whole thing is just getting weirder and weirder over there. So, yeah, there's still a lot to play for, and the Elks are going to be a good, strong test for this team in a couple of weeks.
Now, and this is my weekly Winnipeg tangent of the show. Mm-hmm. And I texted this to you, and I think I may have posted on Blue Sky as well. I think the Winnipeg Blue Bombers missed the playoffs.
Possible.
I really do. Like I don't know, the fact that Mike O'Shea has dug in, letting Chris Streveler... We've seen that Chris Streveler is nothing more than a gadget running quarterback. He can't win games, but he's a great second option. The fact that Mike O'Shea is not giving Wilson a shot And we all think that Zach Collaros, who was limited again today at practice, should probably not play anymore. I BC's on their tail. Edmonton's on their tail. I really think I see Winnipeg missing the postseason. Like, it's just, you're right. The best way to describe them right now is things are weird, right? Saskatchewan is probably the only team, and to a lesser extent Calgary, that you look at and go, okay, they're running their ship. You know, things are tight, things are good, things are going the way you intend them to be, and there's no weirdness really leaking out. And the team looks like, both those teams look like they can win games at any time, minus when they fall into an infamous trap game.
Yeah, so lots to play out in this regular season, which is going to be really fun down the stretch drive here. It's rare that we've gotten, we talked about this a little bit last week, the fact that we talked about heading into the season that we thought 8 of 9 teams would be competitive. And realistically, depending on what you think about Ottawa's chances right now, I guess technically 9 of 9 are still really in the race. I would probably say more so 8. I think Ottawa's got a really tough battle at this point, but there's still so many different ways this can go, and the season is playing out more or less in a lot of ways like we thought in terms of the parity, which is really great for the league. It really should lead to a fun last sort of month and a half here before we head to the playoffs. Some interesting news and notes out of the Saskatchewan Roughriders this week in terms of ticketing and in terms of fan initiatives as we head down the stretch drive here. First thing first, they announced on Monday morning the new co-op community zone.
Amazing.
Which I think is something that's a long time coming. Obviously, it makes sense to have someone sponsor that so you can recoup some of the costs in terms of how much they're going to lower the tickets in that area. But basically, 2,000 seats stretching across the upper bowl on the east side, which if you haven't looked on Ticketmaster very often, those games don't usually... those sections have rarely been opened this season, let alone tickets beyond season ticket members up there have their tickets been sold. Though I do think this past week a number of people made their way up to the upper deck to try and hope that the roof would protect them from some of the rain at the start of the game.
Hide for the rain. Yeah, I get it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because it definitely looked a little fuller up there than it had been, and definitely how the grayed out sections on Ticketmaster suggested they would be.
yes.
Which, hey, fair. Usually you try to sneak down when there's a small crowd, but it's like, today I think I'm going to go up.
it is the other way around.
Yeah. So I think this is a great idea for a whole bunch of reasons. Number one, like, those sections obviously sit empty. You might as well try and get what you can out of it. You've at least monetized it to the point that you will have sponsored, you know, co-op will pay you money to have their name up there at least, so there's some revenue being generated by those seats now. But I mean, $20 to get in the door essentially is now a great deal, and there's enough areas around Mosaic Stadium that if you don't actually want to sit up that high, you don't have to. I'm not saying you go steal someone's seat in the lower bowl, but there's enough concourse on the ends and a little bit through the sides that you don't necessarily have to go up there if you buy that $20 ticket.
We've all done the classic sneak down, right? I mean, who hasn't been to a sporting event, saw the front row, and kind of, you know, slowly made your way down as the game went on, right? I love this, and I love this for so many reasons. I know, speaking from my experience with the Rush, one of the first sections to sell out at SaskTel Center and is always full, it's a shame you never see it on the camera because it's in the upper deck, mm-hmm. It's the co-op sections. Yeah.
No, like, when I grew up in Ottawa, and This is how long ago this was.
Yeah,
my dad would go to the then Correll Center once a month to get in line for tickets to buy to what I believe they called the Coca-Cola Family Zone. It was some kind of Family Zone. Anyway, it was like $10-15 a ticket. I forget what it was, but the tickets only went on sale like every month for those month's games. And the easiest way to get down there was just to go literally wait in line at Will Call was the best way to get these tickets at the time. My dad would get up and he would do that. He'd go wait in line and he'd buy our game of the month that we would go to do that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And those sections pretty much always full.
And that was the same. That's the same with the Rush since day one, the co-op section. Now here's the other thing too. I like for the Riders is the co-op. The second you walk in, like even I was at the liquor store on Wednesday or Tuesday, pardon me. Today is Wednesday. And right there, it's like, as I'm checking out, it's got the QR code right there. Do you want $20 rider tickets? You know, and I'm sure next time I go fill up at the co-op, I'm going to see it at the gas bar. And it's the same during rush season. There's QR code upon QR code basically saying, hey, buy a ticket, right? And it's just all those little things you can do to raise awareness, and I get it, they're the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, maybe they don't have to raise awareness, but I know it definitely made my eyebrow go up, going, oh, $20 rider tickets, like, that's a smoking deal while I'm sitting there buying my beers, right? So
yeah, if you only spend $20 to get in the door, now I don't know, some of these community zones, family sections have, like, no alcohol rules, but I mean, I guess if you're not sitting up there, you can probably get away with it a bit. But I mean, not that I'm suggesting anyone should break the rules or anything. I haven't looked into it that deeply about whether it's gone that far. If it has, that's fine. I think those are very legitimate sections that, you know, if you don't want to be around those, you know, people enjoying alcohol, then that is certainly a section for you as well, which is fine, right?
Certainly. And I like what the riders have done. And we've talked about this, and not just when I was in the pursuit for
you're still trying to suck up to Craig Reynolds. It's okay.
Right. I'm less so now, all right? But it's just, it's the fact that we sat on this podcast and say, you need a family pack.
Yep.
And fans said, you need a family pack. Boom, here's a family pack. We sat on this podcast and fans said, I need a cheap ticket. I just need to get in the door. I need a cheap ticket. Boom, you have a cheap ticket, right? It's like the team is quickly adapting to the changing environment that, yeah, sometimes it is just easier to drink my double white IPAs and watch it out of my big TV down in my basement. So the fact that you've made it accessible, because again, the thought process is always, and I've spoken to the Rush ticketing executives and marketing people about this, is get them in with the $20 tickets. And then they've got numbers that basically show that, like, I think I want to say it was like 60% of people, the next ticket they buy is a more expensive ticket. So you just, you get them in the door and it's like what I used to do in finance. You know, you buy the vehicle and I'm like, hey, undercoat's only $5 more. Warranty's only $12 more, right?
Which I'm clearly a listener of this podcast.
Exactly, because I have that control now because I'm the freaking boss. But seriously, we're well short of Target. If somebody come and buy a truck, that'd be great.
Yes, obviously great. This is a great idea. You know, I think, especially in those sections, I mean, the Upper Deck Mosaic Stadium is way up there, and it's not really a lot of seats. Like, they announced 26 and change at the game this past weekend, where there's obviously a lot fewer there because of the weather.
Right.
And if you looked at the map before the game, it was like the one, basically the Pill Country zone was selling well. The one end zone was selling okay. The lower bowl on both sides is selling okay. It's clearly that. Even I think the West Upper, I think, does okay. I think it's mostly that East Upside that just does not sell all that well, and it's usually the last to open. So this could be a way to actually get some people up there and get some people in the door. And this is coming at a time where I think it's important to note as well that the Riders' attendance is actually up like almost 6% this year.
Right.
So it's not like this is coming from a spot of desperation. They're up a bit this year, so it's like, okay, how do they build on this momentum? And this is clearly a way they're trying to do that.
Well, and it's brilliant, too, because I'm on Ticketmaster looking at the map right now, and we're talking the sections that are for sale now for the next home game against Toronto. The equivalent sections in that area are about $60.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden you're going $20. Same thing. Like, you could almost create your own friends and family pack, right? Like, if you don't want the good seats with the family pack, well, then you can get four tickets for $80. So it's a win.
Or if it's just me and a buddy and we're going, we sit up there, and it's like, okay, I've only spent $20 on this ticket. Now I can, like, logistically speaking, if it's generally, say, $60 to get in, I now have $40 to actually maybe, you know, go buy a burger and fries or a hot dog or some nachos or whatever, right?
That's
how I would do the mental gymnastics around that, rather than if I paid the $60 to get in, I'd be like, maybe I'll buy, like, a bag of popcorn or something. Like, I don't know, right?
Right. It's like how my family, part of my contract with the Rush is my family gets season tickets, right? Yep. But yet, we still spend $120 a game.
Well, it was like a one time I was in Montreal back when I used to go on road games back in my radio days.
Yes.
And the night before the Riders played the Alouettes in Montreal, the Habs were playing the Bruins.
Ooh.
And this was back when I used to care about hockey. So I was like, okay, I'm going to bring, and this was 2014, 2015, one of those years.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stand outside the Bell Center. I got $100. Let's see if I can get in.
Right.
And I wait, I talk to some, you know, I talk to some people, you know, trying to sell tickets. No biters. Obviously, it's the Bruins. There's demand, etc. I get it. So eventually the game starts. I'm like, okay, the game starts. Ticket prices are going to start dropping here because I don't really care if I see the whole game. I'm just here to, because I'm in Montreal, I might as well try.
Right.
The Habs even go down 1-0. And the ticket prices still aren't dropping. I'm just like, okay, I'm about to give up and just go to the bar or something and watch the game. Yeah. All of a sudden, this guy comes out of nowhere, and he's like, you're looking for tickets? I'm like, yeah. He's like, here. I'm like, huh? And he's like, okay. I'm like, is this for real? He's like, and he just hands me these two tickets. He's like, I was like, I was supposed to be here on a date. I got stood up. He's like, just take them.
I'm like,
okay. I was like, is this for real? I'm like, I honestly have no idea if this is real. This feels like a scam or something. I'm like, well,
right.
I might as well just go to the gate and scan them. And worst comes to worst, they tell me I can't get it. I'm like, okay, well, I paid nothing for these, so who cares?
Right, who cares?
I get up to the gate, they scan it. You're like, okay, enjoy the game. I'm like, okay. So, like, I had this budget of tickets for, like, $100, and I was going to plan to spend, like, nothing in the stadium once I got in. So now that I paid nothing for the ticket, I'm like, okay, now I'm going to have a few beers, and I'm going to buy some 50-50. And it turned out to be a pretty fun night. So it was like the front row of the upper deck behind one of the nets. They're actually pretty good seats.
Unreal. Those are incredible seats. That's fantastic. So, but you're right. Get in the door at a cheap price. You spend money. The team makes money, right? So I like what they're doing. And I know the next part we're going to get to is something that I absolutely love. Mm-hmm.
So let's say you get your $20 ticket to the game, or your regular season ticket holder, or you bought tickets and for whatever reason.
Right.
We have now learned that the Saskatchewan Roughriders are discussing with the provincial government to try and make legalized tailgating at Mosaic Stadium next year. Like, actual legitimate. Like, they have
real
the pregame party area. Some teams have, like, designated quote-unquote tailgate zones where they sell you the beer, et cetera, et cetera. But they want to make this, like, legitimate, real tailgating. Now, I don't know how the logistics obviously are trying to be figured out. The whole thing, is it going to be all the parking lot, a section of the parking lot, one of these parking lots, whatever the case may be. This is something that they actually want to do, and I think this is a great initiative to help fan engagement and help, you know, bring out those fans, like maybe the less cost-conscious fans and the fans that want to make an event of this, because, you know, a lot of season ticket holders will do this in general. They kind of gather and they meet and they have fun in their own ways before the games. Or if you're coming down for like one game a year because you live in Prince Albert or something, all of a sudden it's like, okay, I can make a whole day of this because I can go party in the parking lot for a while. Like, that is half the fun of going to an NFL or a college game, is you just go hang out in the parking lot with a whole bunch of people you've basically never met before and just have fun.
and you toss a football around, you get invited. Somebody hears you're from the middle of nowhere. Next thing you know, you're having a cheeseburger with them. Like, it's just... Well,
the one time I went to a Pittsburgh Steelers game, we found another section of the parking lot. This is one time where we went and we just kind of wandered around versus other times that I've been with my friend since where we just set up our own tailgate. But we actually found a guy with, like, a Canadian flag hanging off his thing. So he went to talk to us and talked to him. And, like, they gave us food and beers and everything. And it was fun.
That's awesome. And let's face it. Again, from a money-making, you know, there's going to be people that are going to be like, well, the Riders aren't going to make as much money on this. Let's face it, Gas. When you walk into some place three or four beers deep, you get a little. We all get a little spendy.
Well, and generally speaking, these tailgating spots aren't free. So they're still making money off it.
Well, they're making money off of the spot. You know, they've got a bunch of people. You come in, you've had two or three beers, you're feeling good. That's more likely to turn into two or three more beers, right? So I love it. I love that in a single week they've managed to appeal to all types of fans. And honestly, could you imagine the tailgating on Labor Day?
Oh, it'd be insane. Because, I mean, there is some tailgating in the CFL, and I know, like, in Edmonton and Calgary specifically, there's sort of like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge with the cops where they're like,
right,
as long as you're not being an idiot and as long as you kind of conceal what you're doing, we don't care. I've heard there's basically some spots in Winnipeg where that's the same, Ottawa even apparently, where it's like, okay, it's like, we're not actually going to enforce this as long as you're not dumb, which I believe also exists a little bit in parts around Mosaic. I don't know how much. I know the parking lot I park in, there isn't a whole lot, but that could be, you know, that's just more where, like, media and employees are maybe. But I think it's a good idea to try and make this like actually legal versus, you know, the wink, wink, nudge, nudge, because you never know if you get the wrong officer on the wrong day who may decide to want to crack down, right?
So, well, and that's it. And that's the last thing you ever want to do, especially if you're, like you mentioned, you're coming all the way from PA, got some buddies, you know, you bring your hibachi, you're ready to go throw some burgers up there. I even saw, I was at Sobeys today, saw you can get, like, Wendy's actual burgers at Sobeys now. Like,
yes.
Come on, throw some Wendy's burgers on the grill. Like, it's going to be a great day. But now, okay, the only way to christen this is I feel like there needs to be, like, Bill's Mafia. There needs to be a ceremonial somebody going through the table at the first legal tailgate, and I volunteer as tribute.
I mean, the idea I like, that it's the fans that have to organically come up with their own thing, though. I don't think it's good to, not that it's bad, but I wouldn't necessarily mimic what another fan base is doing. So I think if this is going to become a thing, Rider fans need to figure out their own thing that they're going to become is going to be their thing at the tailgate.
So what you're saying is you don't want to powerbomb me through a table.
I mean, it's not that I don't want to powerbomb you through a table. Number one, I'm not sure if I'm capable or strong enough to actually powerbomb you through a table unless you do a lot of the lifting. Like, if you help sell it, I probably could do it. So it's not that I don't want to. I think it's like all the, like, touchdown chains and the turnover chains and all those sort of things that we see across a lot of sport, across football, where some are more original than others, especially in the CFL. Like, they seem to copy what a lot of other teams and other leagues are doing. So I just would like to see something that is unique to Rider fans that they're doing at this thing.
Well, it's like the Blue Jays home run jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that was a unique thing the team started, and then they got shitty, and then they took it away. Now that it's back, they're cooking again, right? So I'm sure there will be an organic moment, but I want to see someone go through a table cast. I'm not gonna lie.